Hi, everyone, and welcome to Shortcomings, a Sex and the City podcast where we dive into every episode of Sex and the City, the two movies, and of course, And Just Like That. I'm your host, Samantha Bush, and obviously I'm joined by Chris Lewis today. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
You know, down bad. We've been trying to get going for about 40 minutes.
39 minutes.
And here we are. We've switched platforms. We're now on Zoom.
Yeah.
And I've got surgery on Monday. Things are afoot and amiss.
Yeah. So everyone send your well wishes, thoughts,
prayers,
vibes.
And if I don't make it.
Stop.
I guess it's been real, shorties. Someone deactivate my Instagram. That's my main wish.
No,
contact
I'll
Instagram
over.
And take it down. Delete my Facebook. And scrub everything I've ever said from the internet. I'd like to be remembered better than I was.
No, I'm definitely going to take over your Instagram. And just post like what you would have wanted to be posted, you know?
What
like if Charlie Puth wins a Grammy.
I don't really want to put Puth on main. Have you never noticed that?
I mean, of course I would never put it on main. Wait, you have never put him on stories?
No, Charlie is something I don't even know that we've discussed that on this podcast. I don't know. That's a secret, a love affair of mine. So thank you for that.
No, I think we've discussed it.
It's kind of like someone recently was like, I also had a sex dream about who's homeboy from Succession I love, little shorty? Roman?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, how would anyone have ever known I had a sex dream about that? Because that's a secret. And I was like, oh. As I mentioned on that fucking podcast of ours.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the most vivid sex dream this week.
About whom?
About Carl Radke.
Oh, I've never trotted those boards.
It was insane. It was so vivid. It was like I woke up really kind of all turned around.
You know, and I've always tried to defend this podcast from going into Bravo because there's a space for that and it's not here. Uh-huh. But I've never had a sex dream about Carl.
That's actually shocking.
I do remember, and I don't know if it was Carl or Lou, because, you know, I drop in and out of Summer House, that someone basically said, like, I don't want to sit on his face because that's my favorite thing I like about him. And, like, I'm, like, a bigger gal.
Okay.
And I was like, that is a wild image to think I'm not going to sit on his face because I don't want to bruise it. And that's the only thing I like about him.
Who said that?
I come and go on Summer House.
Yeah.
I want to say it was that girl they ran out of there who they all hated.
I mean, which one?
That's true. It's been like 18 versions of the same woman.
Oh, Hannah?
Yeah. Her. Who was on Below Deck.
No, she wasn't.
Wasn't she?
There was a Hannah on Below Deck, but it's a different Hannah.
And that was a different woman?
Yes.
I watched Below Deck in a hotel room for 7 hours and just thought that was the same woman from Summer House. No. And I think I text you and maybe you didn't reply because you simply didn't understand what I was talking about.
Yeah, because I was like, what the fuck is he saying right now?
I was Hannah left Summer House right to the open ocean.
I'll never forget the year. Like, I think it was 2013. I had a vivid sex dream about Shep Rose. And we were on a fisherman's boat. And
I don't think I've ever had a vivid sex dream about anyone from Bravo.
I never have vivid sex dreams ever. And yet,
I am with
Shep Rose and Carl. Oh.
But you know, I think we've discussed this on the podcast that the way I dream isn't like I'm not me. I'm watching from above, almost like a movie.
Right. Yeah.
And so even the sex dreams where I'm having them, it's just me watching myself do filthy things. Wow. I'm never in my body, which I guess now that I say that, it's like, am I ever, even now? Probably not.
I mean,
not even in my finger.
Hand. No, your fingers.
Broken ass finger. Can't even do this.
Yeah, do it with the other hand.
I can't even get the tongue in between there. Little crooked ass finger. And if I don't get it fixed, they're going to quote butterfly together for the rest of my life.
Pardon?
Which I thought sounded lovely. And then my gorgeous
what
Ukrainian
does that
doctor,
mean?
They would be confused. So gotta go under, get that fixed. So guys, pray for me if I'm not back next week to discuss the season 4 finale. It's because I've expired. I'm no longer on this known earth. I'm with the angels now.
Who would you want to greet you at the pearly gates?
Well, sadly,
who would you want to hang out with up there?
The first person I thought hasn't passed, so that's sad. I thought of, I don't even want to put this out in the world, but I thought of Barbara, but she's still here on this earth.
You could greet her when her time.
Yes, I will definitely pass before Barbara, and I'll greet her.
Yeah. We all will.
Who would I like to greet me? Well, as we discussed at the SAG Awards, I simply think every celebrity died during COVID.
You really did. Who was the guy that you thought died the other day?
It was like 3 people. I was like, I thought he passed. Not only did he pass, I grieved him. I don't have my phone on me, but I was like, oh, I thought he died. It was some.
And I was like,
no, he's still with us.
Yeah.
I don't know who I'd like to greet me at the maybe. Well, damn, I was gonna say Liza Minnelli, but she's also still
she's
with us.
She's still here. It's
like
Judy?
I guess Judy Garland. Aretha, like one of my divas.
Oh my god, you and the divas.
Or maybe
you
like
know
a
I
hot
would really...
guy. Like who's a hot guy who's dead? Maybe young Paul Newman.
Oh my god.
Is Robert Redford still alive?
He is.
This is like my version of that thing from Abbott Elementary where she can't remember white celebrities. Like I just think everyone's
she can't remember
dead.
Anybody. That's so funny. I love that that's like her real personality that they play into the show.
Yeah, could Quinta just like pop up and greet me but then come back to Earth?
She could have like, maybe her heart stops for a second.
And just comes up and just welcomes me in. God, I love Quinta.
Yeah. Do you want to start the show?
Well, no, I was going to ask you, who would you like to greet you?
Oh, if I died?
Yeah, when you
during finger surgery?
Yeah. During a routine finger surgery that basically the surgeon was like, I could perform this in my sleep.
Yeah. Who would I want to greet me at the pearly gates? Not to be really dark, but I would really love like for my dog to greet me. My dog that I had growing up.
Oh, okay. I was like, well, Ruby's still with us.
No, Ruby's still with us. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I'm like Paul Newman. Clark Gable.
Aretha.
Someone who'd be like, who is he?
Yeah. And then, you
nothing
know, I
would flash for them.
I would love to go on a heavenly date with like JFK Jr.
I think he's probably booked.
He'll make time for me.
Like, I think you're going to have to get in line, sweetie.
You think there's reservations for JFK Jr. up in
heaven? My idea of heaven is just being able to book dates with dead celebrities.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Paul Newman is up there. Christopher Plummer.
And I was about to say Julie Andrews, but she's still with us.
Stop wishing this upon our girls. Enough.
It's just kind of like, you know, people pass.
And they are elderly.
And it's not like I'm naming anyone who's like 40.
Mm-mm. No, so, you're not like Jennifer Aniston.
That'll be a sad one. I love J.A.N.
I
let's
think
get
her
into
dad
this
died
episode.
Last year. Anyway.
Oh yeah, they. She
was a dick, wasn't he?
No, she loved her dad. He appeared on Gilmore Girls.
He hated the mom, or she hated the mom.
Mr. A great appearance on Gilmore Girls during the Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah,
love him. Let's get into season 4, episode 17, A Vogue Idea.
Yes.
So let's start with a little episode synopsis. Carrie struggles to adapt to her dream. Miranda pushes against motherhood. Charlotte hosts the party. And Samantha gives Richard a very specific birthday present.
Specific.
What did you think of this episode overall?
I enjoyed it a lot more than I remembered it. Like, when I saw that this was the episode, I was like, ugh, like, I really don't want to watch this. But there were so many really funny moments to me really enjoyed.
That's so funny, because I genuinely remember, like, during the original run of the show, if you had asked me what's one of my favorite episodes is, I would have said this one for some reason.
Interesting.
And wow, watching it now was a real grab bag.
It really was. I mean, there's two stars of this episode for me.
It was a real rush through of just Target and grab anything. Just it's like supermarket sweep.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. It is like supermarket sweep. But I really enjoyed the Miranda and Charlotte stuff. That really made me laugh.
I guess one of the problems I have with this episode, and it is its kind of theme, right, of the role parents play in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was thinking about this recently as I head under the knife. Is it a knife? I don't even think he's using a knife.
He's definitely not. He's not like slowly. No.
I think, is he not cutting my finger off? I don't know what's happening. So let's hear the monologue and then get into it.
Later that night, I got to thinking about fathers, or the lack of them. Some say a daughter's relationship with her father is the model for all her subsequent relationships with men. Is that just pop psychology, or is there some truth to it? And if you were given a less than perfect model, does it mean a life of less than perfect relationships? I couldn't help but wonder, how much does a father figure figure?
Well, that was one of the more awful monologues, I think. Because it's all about parental things, and right, it ends with that note of how much does a father figure figure?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't help but wonder, does this even feel like something Carrie would write about?
No, or if you but were this a, isn't if you something a, she stumbled upon on her own.
If you were a fan of her column and you opened up this week, wouldn't you be like, what the fuck is going on?
I'd be like, I don't come here to be reminded of daddy issues. That's not why we're here. I'm here to learn who you're fucking and cheating on.
And it just doesn't even feel like the right way to get into kind of everything else that's happening this episode. I mean, it's very self-centered, self-focused, which LOLs carry.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just kind of, I mean, right. Overall, this is a show that doesn't really deal in families that often. We met Miranda's at her mother's funeral briefly. Mm-hmm. We met Wesley, Charlotte's brother. We never meet a member of Samantha's family. Maybe we do on the Carrie Diaries.
Like, really hear about them.
No, we hear about her childhood, but never about like oh yeah, parents. My mom was like an asshole. Or
like my brother or my sister, nothing.
No. So it just feels a little weird for randomly towards the end of season four to drop in. Let's have a meditation on Carrie's like childhood and her relationship with her father who walked out on her. But then it doesn't really take seriously that idea. But right. We do meet someone quite impactful when this episode opens, and that's Ms. Enid.
Mm.
What did you think of Enid?
She's perfect in this. Candace Bergen is perfect in this role as Enid. She pushes back on Carrie in a way that reminds me a little bit of Gilmore Girls when Rory basically is told that she's not cut out to be in the...
So you're saying she's the Mitchum Huntsberger of Sex and the City?
A little bit, yeah. And I was kind of living for it because Carrie's like always being praised and like in her writing, and it's like, is she? We questioned it. We're like, is she a good writer? Like,
wait,
I don't know.
But who's ever praising her?
Everyone. They're like, oh my God, I'm a huge fan of your column. I'm a huge fan of your column.
I think you're thinking of that one girl when we went out with
that
Dr. Bradley
one guy
Nego.
From last week. Or
that
2 weeks
was about
ago.
That was about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah, he was.
You're
like,
my New
I
York survival
column.
Guide. That's my Australian accent.
Like people say that they love her columns and stuff. So it was nice to see someone kind of be like, "Listen, bitch, this isn't what we wanted. This isn't good."
So let's hear a little bit of Enid, and I do love her red piece of paper. And talk about that is how I edit things. Just red marks everywhere.
You would hate to be my editor.
Oh, it would just be one large slash with the note try again.
Yeah, it really would.
After 3 mistakes, that is what I do. So let's hear Enid and then get into Samantha.
This isn't Vogue.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No, no one is saying that.
Well, I am. I'll say it. I didn't like it there. I said it.
No, what Enid is trying to say, Carrie, is that you wrote a wonderful first draft.
That isn't Vogue.
There it was. The article I'd put my heart and soul into. And it was bleeding.
Your spin on the idea, Carrie, is very clever. Different types of men as the new accessories for fall. A Prada A Prada dress should always be worn with an investment banker. I mean, that's wonderful.
Julian, the assignment was 500 words on accessories, not men. And I'm not convinced she knows anything about purses, or for that matter, men.
Enid, for the love of God.
Miss Bradshaw, what you've handed us here is essentially just your newspaper column with the word style jammed in where the word sex used to be. We're not looking for Vogue according to your agenda. No one cares about your agenda.
That's not true.
Oh, forgive me. I don't care about your agenda. I care about designers. Oscar de la Renta, Chanel, Dior. I want less Carrie Bradshaw and more Carrie this bag with these shoes. Do you see what I mean? You're a writer. You should be writing this down.
I was trying to find a way to introduce the bags and the bracelets with a little humor. Kind of men are the new black. It was supposed to be funny.
It was supposed to be bags.
All right. The other thing I just wanted to say about Enid is that there's a world in which, like, you also have to think meta-wise casting Candy Bergen, who like, you know, comes from, like, the 90s Murphy Brown, this kind of working woman. There is almost this fun... There's a world where she might have played a Carrie Bradshaw. The only other person who I think, and it would be amazing, is if, like, Mary Tyler Moore, like, popped up at one point. The true, like, predecessor to this whole nonsensical show.
Absolutely. Like, she just gives off that air of, like, I'm a boss bitch. I'm a working woman. I'm a working girl. I'm Melanie Griffith. Like, I wear sneakers to get to work and then change into heels. Like, that is the vibe that she's always just given off. And so, like, casting her was
chef's perfection. And guys, if you haven't rewatched Working Girl in a while, Harrison Ford's never been hotter.
No, that movie.
That's who I'd like to agree. Really wait, he's also still alive.
Yeah, he's very much still alive.
It's like, and working. It's like, that's who I'd like to greet me at the pearly gates.
Yeah, they did have to CGI him, I think, in Star Wars.
That's who I'd like to greet me at the pearly gates.
Who?
What's her name? Oh. You know what I'm talking about? Carrie Fisher.
Oh, God. Yeah. What a welcome.
I want Carrie and Debbie.
Her and Debbie Reynolds.
I want tip-tapping away. I want them both there. Mm-hmm. And we'll just go right to the cabaret and start singing. Wow. And God will just sit there like, there he goes again.
Yeah, there he goes again.
20 minutes. Also, let's be honest, if there's a heaven or hell, I'm going to hell. So let's get into Samantha.
Okay.
So she wants to give Richard a present, and he suggests a three-way with Alexa. What did you think of Alexa?
She's fucking stunning, gorgeous, beautiful.
Is she, like, the other star of the episode you were referring to?
No, the stars of the episode for me were Miranda and Charlotte.
Oh, I thought when you said two stars, it was going to be people who aren't actual stars of this show.
No.
Thought you were going to pick some, like, off the beaten path choices and really surprise us. You're like, the stars of the show were Sarah Jessica Parker, Cynthia Nixon, Kristen Davis, and Kim Cattrall. I really think they held the episode together. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Allow me a sidebar. Should we be recording locally?
I don't think so.
Okay. Cam, you're on it. And guys, if this episode doesn't come out, I won't be re-recording it because I'll be in the throes of recovery.
Correct.
I thought Alexa handled it quite beautifully when Samantha suggested it, because as someone who, well, first of all, I've never been propositioned for a threesome, but as someone who's, like, been in, like, very heightened sexual situations, I never know what's going on. Like, I'm all, like, if someone had been like, we want a really intimate party, I'd be like, okay, great. So just, like, a small table for two. Like, there was no way. I would never have landed on, great, I'll be there with my top off very soon.
Yeah. I also, like, was living for this blazer she was wearing with, like, nothing under it to work. I was like, get it, bitch.
She was very much giving. What was it? Was it Shayna, the bartender, the waitress who worked at Scout? Very unbothered female energy. Yeah, but just
she was like an upscale.
Like, to walk over and just say, you're the most beautiful couple in this bar, so I ordered you some chocolate mousse. And then she's basically, like, humping the air.
No, I know. She was the sexual energy.
By the way, this girl is like 20. She's lusting after these dusty elders. By the way, I would too. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, I was like, please be serious. Be fucking for real.
Get real.
I can't wait for Crystal Minkoff to be back on our screens.
What did we say? We talked enough about you wanting Carl Radke to raw dog you. We can't talk about Crystal Minkoff.
So true.
I love the scene of Carrie and Samantha at the baby shower. So let's just hear that for a bit.
She may be 21, but I have 21 years of experience. I can fuck her under the table.
Well, that's good to know, because in a three-way situation, it could come to that.
Oh, hi. I have tricks she hasn't even seen.
And those tricks aren't for kids.
And no matter what happens, she's just renting them. I own.
Exactly.
Although I don't really own.
So it's more of an illegal sublet type of thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that moment. I think they're so cute together.
Yes.
And you just can't tell me these two hate each other. I love when she's talking about, I've got tricks that this girl wouldn't even know. And those tricks, they aren't for kids. Sarah Jessica Carey replied. I just think they're so cute. Like, they must have liked one another at some point.
There has to be something inside of them that like, wants to connect. Something. There has to be. Like, either
they
that
want
or they're
to be together.
Truly the best actors of our time.
Spiritually, and I know I've said this before in this podcast, we all know everything. And again, I don't know who said that or where I learned that phrase or if I made it up. But I do believe like they know in their cores, like there is something pulling themselves to one another.
There is.
And I know believe one it. Day they could get, it's kind of like Deborah Winger and that other woman from Terms of Endearment.
Deborah Winger and that other woman. You know? Yeah, it's just so...
Shirley MacLaine.
Crazy. Oh, she's so scary.
Those two, but so they had a feud for years and finally came... Well, actually, I don't think they came together. I think... Did Shirley pass?
I have a question about Shirley MacLaine.
Did Shirley pass?
No.
Damn it, man. Think...
Yeah, you're really not on...
Not on board with any celebrity who's alive.
No. I have a question. Now, this obviously might be a dumb one, but did they start off hating each other, or was this like a thing that they grew to resent or dislike?
They definitely hate one another by the end of the series.
Right.
Right. I think they
But you would
started...
never know that in the movie when Samantha's feeding her.
No. But they definitely, there was rumors they didn't like one another all throughout the original series, but it never really, but they would dispel them and say, oh, cat fight media.
Right. Women pitting women against each other. Yes.
Then by the end of the second movie, it was like, these two can never be in the same room. And then of course we know now it's just like fucking just Instagram like posts getting, remember when she flamed Sarah Jessica Parker on Instagram? Just lit her ass the fuck up.
Yes.
That was a thrilling day on the internet. Guys, if you haven't revisited that post, Kim Cattrall.
It was such a crazy day.
She doesn't want to be in a situation where she's not enjoying herself for a minute.
No. And you know what? Good for you.
Much like Whoopi Goldberg, who doesn't want anyone in her house. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the threesome? Where I guess Alexa's going down on Richard, Samantha's making out. I guess I was trying to think of like where I'd want to be in that situation. So picture you're Samantha.
I think you'd want to be Richard.
No. I'm thinking of myself as Samantha.
Oh,
like
okay.
The person who's invited this other person into my relationship. Okay. Would you want to be at the mouth or downtown?
I would want to just be making out.
I think I'd want to be downtown. Protected the prize.
It
I'd say
like
Shorty's
just a lot
right
of...
in, but I don't really want to get responses to this on like Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, like I would rather be sucking a dick. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, would you ever have a threesome? Are you interested?
I would only ever have one. Like, I'm not interested in that, but I would only ever have one if I was like the guest star. Because I'm not secure enough, I don't think, in myself to like be able to have one like with my partner.
Now, do you think, would you take your bra off?
Chris, will you shut the fuck up? Did you see that she had a bra on?
Well, everyone's never not. I think maybe this Sex and the City formed you at a pivotal age and you were like, I must keep a bra on while I'm in sex.
Hang on, let me put a bra on before we fuck.
Yeah, I would definitely. I don't know that I want to be the guest star.
Interesting.
I think I'm just not interested. Like, I think
I'm really not interested.
The answer is a hard no. But maybe if I was, what situation would I be forced into it?
Ooh. Yikes.
But yeah.
But Sammy Jones kicks this bitch right out of the bed. She's on the floor.
And I love the right. If we're going to wrap this in kind of father figure language, I love that what pushes her out is the daddy thing, that uh-huh. Richard doesn't want to be made to feel older. Although I don't know. Richard definitely like comes
Samantha
off to
calls
me as
him daddy.
Yeah, I was gonna say Richard definitely comes off to me as someone who wants to be called daddy in the bedroom.
Do you think?
But maybe
that's
not
why
on
it
his
was
birthday.
Shocking to me. But maybe not by like a much younger girl, where like it really could be like he could be her dad.
But then he shouldn't be having sex with such young women. I mean, that's what so we've true. Said about Richard that we do like and respect about him is that he likes an older gal.
Yeah. I feel like Samantha calls him daddy. I can't imagine she doesn't.
Whenever I think about that whole daddy thing, and of course we all use daddy now on the internet, it's like basically just like, I honestly couldn't imagine using it in the bedroom in a sexy way because of how the internet has commodified that word. And now we're like, ooh, look at like daddy
Pedro
Logan
Pascal.
Roy.
Yeah,
no, it's not
dad.
Even men we find actually
oh,
sexy.
It's like
we use it now in such a like joking manner. Like yeah. You'll see like a picture of like Joe Biden and people will be like, daddy.
Daddy.
It's
like... yeah, he was like, get rid of her.
Yeah, but what
Get the dead.
But I just think it's so... But whenever I think about the daddy, that's what I was going to say. It's is I remember... Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that... What's the Eileen Wuornos movie called?
Monster.
With, yeah, where that one guy who says to her, like, call me daddy, and she says, why, you like to fuck your kids? It's just whenever I think about that line being used
so
in a section.
So dark.
I didn't write the... Take that up with
now
Patty Jenkins.
Bringing up Monster.
I didn't write the line. I don't know.
That movie is so dark.
I really enjoy when they go skating. I'm sorry, guys.
Christina Ricci is really good in that movie.
Yeah, shout out to one of my favorite Grey's Anatomy guest stars, Christina Ricci.
Oh my god, yes, she's a great guest star. She was funny.
But Richard does ultimately say, like, "Oh, let's try monogamy here," and I simply wrote, "Yikes!" Because I'd forgotten that it is him who proposes it, and then next week we're gonna see him.
Stop.
You know, downtown himself.
Yeah.
I did love, by the way, we should talk about the visual joke. I love of how it's shot. The bed is shot from above. So it really seems like they're kicking her out from like fucking Mount Everest.
She looks like she is so far down on the ground. It looks fucking crazy. And I will have all of you guys know, Chris and I did look up Richard's apartment.
And by Chris and I, you mean me. I did it.
No, I also did it. I Googled it.
Okay. But so just, that is just
we were Googling
his bedroom.
At the same time. Yeah.
And there is more to the apartment. However, what that begs is a few episodes ago, we saw them bring a full table in and have a man serve them breakfast in the bedroom. How crazy.
Oh, yeah. Crazy, considering he also has like a rooftop pool. Apparently this apartment is worth $17 million.
Next time I'm in New York, you think I could get my eyes on it? Just like maybe I'll dress up and try to like, my name is Pierpont James, I have $17 million exactly to spend on this apartment.
Yeah.
Or be like, my name is Richard Wright. I don't like being called daddy, and I'd like to see this apartment immediately.
Be like, come with me.
I'm a hotel magnate. Or what did you call him? A hotel maven.
Maven.
Like he was a Mary Kay saleswoman.
Yeah, it's a maven. He's going to get a pink Escalade.
Let's get into Ms. Bradshaw and
this
Shaka Shaka.
This is the first time.
She can't go last. Sorry, guys. This is the most inconsequential storyline Carrie's ever had.
This is also the first time I think we've ever had her not last.
That's what I mean. She doesn't deserve last spot.
No, I agree.
So she's freelancing at Vogue. Enid is basically like, get the fuck out of here. Your agenda means nothing to me. And we meet Julian. Now, I want to make a retraction and an apology. I did say last week Julian was played by character actor Bob Balaban. And I know that means nothing to anyone other than me, but that is not Bob Balaban. And apologies, that is character actor Ron Rifkin, who I have such deep respect for and love, but they do look alike. And I just needed that out there because I don't want my street cred for knowing who people are. But the minute I saw him, I was like, that is not Bob Balaban. That is, in fact, Ron Rifkin.
The shorties.
I don't know why I know
that.
Either of them. What did you think of Julian?
He's just a... I hate what he does at the end, obviously.
I have to tell you, I'm obsessed.
No, I'm obsessed with him.
And honestly,
he
I gotta
is
say...
so fucking...
I didn't mind what he did at the end. It was making me laugh.
You know what's funny is I remembered that whole scene so different
than
it really was.
I remembered it darker than it is.
Me too. I remembered it like very predatory, like weird in my mind. And I'm like, wait,
it's not at all what's
going
on. Control. Like she, we'll get to
yes.
that.
Yes.
Yeah. So we meet Julian and Enid leaves and they proceed to get drunk. What did you think? And this is where I think like my cultural memory of this episode is the whole I'm drunk at Vogue.
Yeah.
Which is funny, but also so grating. I was like, Carrie, shut up. Did you
she's
like
very
that?
Very annoying this episode. No, she's very annoying. He's like, how are you drunk right now? And she's like,
I
didn't eat breakfast.
And I'm
and
a size two.
I'm a size two. I'm like, shut up, bitch. You're also not a size two.
She's
a zero.
A size, if that. I think she's like a negative two.
She's like a kids. She's like, where's juniors?
She's definitely shopping at Gap Kids.
Yeah.
Also
her short hair we get. It's her short hair era.
Did she cut her hair between episodes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think we got the reveal of that we should have.
You don't think?
No, I feel like it should have... I don't know. I mean, I didn't notice. It should have been more impactful, more... Love Carrie with... I love her short hair. I know you're not a fan.
I like her short hair in this episode when it's, like, curly. I don't love it next season.
And I know we're going to fight quite a lot about her short hair on the New Jersey boardwalk.
Oh, God.
With those
My
little orphan Annie
episode.
Curls.
My least favorite episode of the entire show.
I love that episode.
I hate it when she eats the taffy. I'm so disgusted.
And stares at those two black people awkwardly. We'll get to that, but what a fucking hate crime.
Yeah.
So the two times we see two black people and they're in fucking velour jogging suits. Can we get them something
like...
a little bit better than that? You and your star, you and your sunsets. I'm like, what is going on here? This is really fucking weird. I love those two.
Oh my God. Okay.
I do like the mention of Anna Wintour. I do believe if this is anything, by the way, like the first movie, Anna Wintour wouldn't allow them to shoot at actual Vogue. So that's technically teen Vogue they're shooting at.
Okay, can I tell you, the front office, like when she walks in, it did look really familiar. And now that you're saying that, I'm like, oh, the Hills.
It's the Hills, yeah.
Yeah.
So they go to lunch and Julian starts probing her about her past, which is kind of where we get this whole thing. And she talks about her great love of Aiden and her father. And it just feels very armchair psychology 101.
Yeah. Like, how has she never thought about this before?
Or also just like, no, that's not like, I don't know. I guess, look, and I guess a lot of my therapy has been about like my parental relationships and like how I was raised. But there isn't a straight line between that and that, which I do appreciate that later when she has the nice conversation with Miranda. Miranda says, my dad was home every day at like 5 and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Vogue closet moment. So let's hear it and then chat about it.
Oh my God!
Shh, Carrie.
Do you know what these are?
We're not even supposed to be in here.
Manolo, Blahnik, Mary Janes. I thought these were an urban shoe myth.
Now if you'll excuse me, I'll be pillaging the men's side.
Okay. Oh my God! These are authentic, patent leather. And if they don't fit, so help me, I'm gonna wear them anyway. Oh, what? heels fit.
Carrie.
Oh, yeah?
Tell me what you think about these Versace.
Okay. All right. Oh. What are you doing?
I'm just showing you these briefs.
Well, don't. Julian, put your pants up.
Oof, look at you and those Mary Janes.
Stop. What happened to your wife, the dancer?
She's having an affair with our friend, the chiropractor. Carrie.
What?
I find you adorable.
You're old enough to be my father.
Hardly. Would your father wear Versace's?
Put your pants up now.
All right. But Cookie, as someone who really cares about you, let me just say, I think you have some serious issues with men.
I do right now, yes.
An older man can help you work through some of those father issues, Cookie.
Okay, don't cookie me, Freud. Pants up. Show some respect. This is Vogue.
Turns out, Julian had an agenda as well. But it was cleverly hidden, of course.
So let's chat about this whole moment. So we both agree that it is definitely less predatory than we remember it. And I think the only thing that really stopped me from and really did make me laugh is when he says, look at me in these Versace's.
No, what he said, Versace's.
It just made me laugh.
He was so funny. And I also remembered, I didn't remember that his wife was also having an affair. So I was really confused. And then I just remembered it a lot darker, and it
there's
really
so much
wasn't.
Physical distance like, between them also, and Carrie's
and
fully
he's
in
like
control
being, and he's this being a Vogue. Freak
he's so like he's so nasty. Julian,
he's so nasty.
Look at you in those Mary Janes. Ooh.
No, and Carrie SJP,
we're gonna get
just
so
like,
many notes about this. I can feel them already.
I know, but it's like it's a funny joke. Okay,
now my internalized misogyny is showing.
Well, it's like we're woke, we're not woke. It's like,
yeah, can people get off our backs?
But Carrie was so funny in this. She was like, "Can you like put on your fucking pants? Like,
put your pants on. Don't cookie me. Put your pants on."
Yeah, it's so good. I love it.
And then
but
we
yeah, I remembered
with,
it a lot darker.
I did. I remembered it as like him closer and kind of leering. But yeah. When he said Versace's, I did have a laugh. And of course, we should also note that I believe this Vogue closet moment is the scene that built The Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
Of course, there was the book, but like, right, this is all our cultural memory. Like, this is like, I think they, I actually don't think David Frankel directed this episode. But the director of The Devil Wears Prada directed many episodes of Sex and the City. And he said that it was his training ground for that movie. And what he really learned is always start with the shoe. So if you notice in that movie, there are constantly like zoom-ins of shoes.
They're filming.
Pull up.
Yeah, they did that in the beginning of this episode. They started her shoes and work up.
David Frankel, great director. He also directed SJP in Miami Rhapsody, which is a wonderful movie. She's really good in that. And then this story ends with Carrie and Enid working together.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up is I think it's interesting that at no point in this episode does Carrie's father issues come to the full group. Like, there's not a brunch scene where she talks about it. Usually, whatever the central issue of the episode is or her question, we discuss at the brunch table and we hear the four different opinions, but we really only get this one with Miranda. And I just thought that was an interesting choice that if we're discussing family, that is something she isn't going to bring to everyone.
To everybody.
That she feels most comfortable with her and Miranda.
Yeah. And it also just, it didn't allow the other women to share their family history or anything like that, which I like hearing about that a little bit. Like, I kind of want to know more of like where they all kind of came from.
I think if we've decided, and I think we've talked about this before, but if we're doing this different thesis for And Just Like That, give us more backstory, give us more family. Like, we know Big has a brother now. Bring in Carrie's. I want to see a sister for Carrie. I want to see I want to see what was my weird storyline with Adam Pally? Oh, he was going to be Harry's like nephew.
Yeah.
And like move in. Like,
yeah, I agree. I want more like depth in the family area.
And before we move on to the most impactful part of this episode, the only other thing I wanted to note is I really also kind of wished that this episode had more of a season one vibe. That kind of the way season one would really dissect a world, the idea of modelizers or, you know, having sex like a man. It felt like if we're going to go into the world of Vogue, let's really dissect it as a world. And yeah. I feel like season one would have done that.
Yeah.
Where it would have been, we're going to look at this anthropologically rather than emotionally, which is where the show kind of moves towards. And this was one episode where I was like, I kind of wish we had a season one lens where as she walked in, we cut to like six Vogue workers all kind of talking about what it means to work at Vogue.
Yeah, I wish kind of that she started at Vogue in a different episode so that could have been more of a focus.
Do we ever hear about her Vogue work again until the first movie? We see Enid again, but do we ever hear about her working there again?
I don't think so.
When we see Enid, she says, oh, this is my editor at Vogue. So I guess we're to know it's an ongoing relationship
throughout
the first movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get into Miranda and Charlotte. So we have once again another interconnected storyline, very much like last week. What did you think of this overall before we start breaking it down? Because this is the only part of the episode I liked.
I loved this part. This really carried the episode for me. I love seeing how they approach motherhood in such a different way and how, you know, Charlotte was basically like, Miranda, you have to think about these things. Like, you can't, like, you're having a baby. Like, I obviously don't think Miranda needs to go like overboard and be like, am I going to be a marsupial mom or a whatever kind of mom? But like, she really has to give it a little bit more thought. I mean, I don't think Miranda's giving it anything,
taken 1 second to think about the reality of having a baby.
No. She's kind of,
I think we saw her last week, and this is good progression, right? We saw her last week dealing with the physical realities of being pregnant, which made us both ill.
A lot of farting.
And then this week we're seeing her like, oh shit, at the end of this, like a baby comes into this known world. Mm-hmm. As I leave this that known world baby. Post-surgery.
Yeah.
Babies come into this known world. And maybe we'll say hello like a newborn baby at the hospital as I head out, the baby's checking in. We'll just slap asses and head out. But I love Charlotte stepping in to help and saying, I think it would be really good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they all kind
of softened and were like, yeah. Okay, we'll allow it.
And I appreciate the gradual way we're seeing Charlotte claim the apartment and make it her own. Removing of the baby room. We are barreling towards my favorite guy next week. Wow. Keeps going.
Yeah.
What did you think of Charlotte calling her at work with the Manhattan Who's It? It's Manhattan Who's It?
Chris, it was so you.
Like
you wouldn't call, I think, like during like work, but like you are very much like a planner in that way. Like you're very thorough, like Charlotte, like that.
But if someone called me at work and wanted to talk about
something, like, what the fuck?
I would be like Miranda. I'd be like, I have to go. I don't have time for this. Click.
Yeah.
But I do really love Charlotte. They are. But let's hear her over at the apartment.
So the bassinet can go over here by the bed.
Uh-huh.
So that when you have to get up for feedings, he's right there, see?
Yeah.
Unless you were planning to have him sleep in the bed with you.
Can't I go to jail for that?
No. In fact, many cultures believe that it's safer for the baby's breathing. Although you do run the risk of rolling over and smooshing him in your sleep, but that almost never happens. But almost isn't never, so if you want to err on the side of safety...
I'll just put him in the thing.
The bassinet?
Hey.
Great! And then when he's big enough, you can put the crib here. Is that what you were thinking?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that yet.
Well, you need to start thinking about these things because there are a million questions to answer before the baby ever gets here. Do you have a birthing plan? Do you know what kind of a mother you want to be?
Yes, I plan to be a good mother.
But a marsupial mom or a stroller mom? Will you be breastfeeding or bottle feeding? And what about baby proofing? Because with all the sharp edges around here, I mean, this place is a death trap.
Okay, you need to back off.
I'm just trying to help.
This is your idea of helping? Pointing out all the things I do badly?
I'm not pointing out.
Yes, you are.
you need to try to let other people in a little. Because once you have that baby, it's not just you anymore. You're not going to be able to control everything.
Look, I just want to enjoy the fried chicken and be done with it.
Oh, well, I had to rethink the fried chicken because you were the only one who wanted all that breading. So instead, we're having mesclun greens and a lovely puttanesca with a Fiji mum centerpiece.
A Fiji mum stork centerpiece?
One stork. I think you can deal with
two
one
storks.
Stork.
I saw the invitation. There's a stork on the invitation.
That's not a stork. That is a duck. And that duck is smoking, and it's a boy's cigar. That duck's not for children.
That duck is fucked. This whole shower is fucked.
You can't have a shower without some baby stuff.
You keep this up, you're gonna have a shower without a mommy.
Fine.
Fine.
Miranda, you better show up. I am not getting stuck with a bunch of lawyers who, if they're anything like you, won't even appreciate a beautiful puttanesca.
Watch out for the sharp edges.
I'm really loving Charlotte as this agitator, right? We saw the fight last week with Carrie, and now she's showing up at Charlotte Miranda's apartment. They're getting into this argument. But what I love about this fight is that they're both right. Like, Miranda, as you said earlier, does need someone to push her to start thinking about this. Like, she hasn't thought about where the baby's going to sleep. She's like, are you going to put the crib here? The other thing I wanted to note, and of course they do move out of the apartment to buy the house in Brooklyn. Miranda's apartment's a lot smaller than I thought it was.
Same. I thought for some reason she might have had a second bedroom. I don't know why I thought that.
I did too. I was like, well, where's the baby's room?
Right. I was like, okay. And then like just the fact that Miranda hasn't given it any sort of thought, I'm like, girl, come on. How did you get through law school? You got to think.
But she just never really saw herself as a mother. So she's not really...
Well, buckle up, babe. You got Brady's coming into those worlds.
Brady fucking Hobbs. That you know what? I can't even say it. It's too disgusting. That landmine of a condom of a man.
Ew. Yeah, but, you know, Charlotte kind of needed to know a boundary. And she... here's the thing. Actually, I take it.
But she could have given her the fried chicken. She's like, no one really wanted all that fried food but you.
Yeah.
Which is also slam.
You wanted all that breading.
Slam.
I would kill myself. I just think Charlotte, her intentions are so good. And I can't be mad at her or really even annoyed with her at all. Like, she's really just happy for her friend. And holding a mirror up to Miranda being like, babe, you're having a baby. We need to like get a move on here. And period.
And I think Carrie gets a lot of the emotional kind of, oh, what a good friend for the stoop scene that follows. But she wouldn't have gotten to that stoop scene without Charlotte pushing her there.
Absolutely. And also, if Miranda couldn't even get up the stairs, why did she go to Carrie's? Why didn't Carrie go to her?
Well, I think she just showed up. I think we're to, like, I don't think she called Carrie. I think she went for a walk and arrived at Carrie. And then they were like, we have to sit here because I can't get upstairs.
Okay, got it.
But I do really like the moment where she tells her the story about her when she was babysitting. And Carrie goes, get off my stoop. Sarah Jessica Parker was really in her comedy bag.
She really was. When Miranda said that she dropped her cousin or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought that scene was really adorable. And there is just something so nice about Cynthia Nixon and Sarah Jessica Parker. If I had to list the things that I'm most looking forward to of In Just Like That, I really am just looking to seeing those two girls hanging out again.
Me too. I'm excited to see Carrie's reaction to Rambo.
She's already met Rambo. Remember when she yelled at her?
No, I know, but now Rambo's going cross country.
I know, but that was like the best. I mean, truly the greatest episode of it. The only true. Well, every episode of it, just like that, was amazing as a experiment.
Right.
The only good episode was the finale, and that amazing scene where Carrie kind of takes on the Miranda role and says, "Like you're living in a fantasy. Like, what are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
And then we got what was the rabbi's name? Rabbi Jen, who just came out like a wrecking ball. God, I miss it just like that.
Yeah, I gotta revisit. Gotta revisit.
But I do love that so Miranda does show up to the shower. She's got her fried foods on a lovely platter. Who did you think all those women were?
Co-workers.
Co-workers, colleagues. I wish we'd seen some like I wish we'd seen some old guest stars. Like, remember her interior decorator who married her London
her friend.
Boyfriend?
Like, I would love to see him.
Like, we've met people Miranda knows before, friends they have in common, that it would have been just nice to see, like, some friendly other people.
I loved when Miranda just simply put the baby on the couch.
Baby Charles. I don't want kids, but when I saw Baby Charles, my imaginary uterus exploded. He's so fucking cute.
So fucking cute.
But then Miranda just tossed him down, truly doing the exact same thing she said she did. She was like, yeah, he just wiggled off the couch. He needed 3 stitches. And I love Carrie's like, Miranda. Miranda's like, what? Nothing.
Don't even make it a big deal. Like, she's just like, okay.
But even Samantha gives her a look like, no, I don't think Miranda truly understands that she was supposed to hold the baby. That's right. What Carrie and Samantha are looking at. Like, it's not like she looks over and goes, you caught him. She's like, what do you need from me? She's completely unaware of, like, you don't just put a baby
drop
down on
babies
a couch.
On couches. Mm-hmm.
But then I thought the moment where you see the Tiffany rattle, first and foremost, I don't know how much a Tiffany rattle costs, but that's not something I think you give to a, like, random colleague.
They're rich. They can give.
No,
can
you
give.
That's first of all, lawyers, as I constantly
tell
you,
I just looked it up.
What does it cost? Like $200?
Yeah, it's like nothing.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad. I thought it was like $1,000. I was like, that's crazy.
No,
you don't
I
spend
did
that much
too.
Money.
There's some really cute stuff on the Tiffany Baby website. And just so you guys are aware, there's a $150 spoon.
All right. Can you get off of that site?
Sorry. It's like actually really cute stuff.
Well, of course. Duh, bitch. It's Tiffany's.
Yeah, but it's like cute.
Did you think it would be ugly?
Kind of.
But I do appreciate the kind of callback. Hey, Miranda follow Charlotte in, and they have the really sweet kind of final moment between the two of them. So let's hear that and then just get into fashion and wrap this episode up.
Charlotte, I just need to be alone right now.
Okay. Except, you know, you got 20 people in the other room.
I'm sorry I ruined your shower.
You didn't. And there wouldn't even be a shower to ruin if it weren't for you. Look, I know this is hard, and I really appreciate you trying to be okay with me having this baby. Because I need you. I mean, let's face it, you're the only person in my life who knows how important it is to have a cake made entirely out of diapers.
There's lotion in there, too.
Oh, yeah?
And baby bottles and a receiving blanket.
See? I would never have known that.
You would have figured it out.
And just like that, Miranda realized she might be a good mother figure as well.
Hello? Somebody better go check on Mommy in the guest bath, because little Fitz here has wet himself. And myself, I might add.
Oh, well, I happen to have 4 tiers of diapers.
Oh, good.
Ladies, can we cut the cake and get out of here? I have a 3-way to go to.
Yeah?
That's my earring.
I love that scene. I think it made me cry. I just think she's so loving to her. I do think the acting is a bit on the nose mothering, like, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, and it's just a little too on the nose, but it is so sweet.
It is so sweet.
And the saccharine nature of it is really cut by Samantha coming in. Can we get out of here? I've got a 3-way to get to.
Yeah.
So they know the right balance to write as I'm like, this is just a little too cutesy and sweet. Samantha comes in with a little bit of a hard punch. What did you think of the fashion in this episode?
I thought, you know, you mentioned you didn't really care for Charlotte's crazy ass look.
Well, no one else heard that.
I'm loving it. What?
No one heard that because there was a clip playing over it. But
no, I said, I think you mentioned it maybe to me. It was a
yes. I thought she looked crazy. She's wearing a kind of red corset with a flowy skirt. It was very much giving Buffy season 4 to 6 with Willow and Tara, the way they would dress them as like witchy
it
lesbians.
It was a style. Yeah. No, but that was the style like in 2001 or whatever.
I don't know. I didn't care for it. I thought Miranda looked beautiful when she came into brunch in a kind of men's blue shirt.
I did too. Menswear. And I also liked her off the shoulder. I liked her off the shoulder, like baby shower look.
I didn't care for that one, but I thought that I thought she actually looked routinely awful for the rest of the episode. But when she came in that blue menswear shirt, I thought, wow, she's never looked better. The way she was lit, she was truly glow. She had that glow.
Stop.
And then I liked Carrie's Vogue outfits.
Oh, her little like
the pinstripe suit and the gray one she's wearing at the end. Carrie goes professional, I thought was nice. In terms of the men, we had Richard and Julian. And I have to abstain this week because I didn't care for either of these men. I mean, if I had to pick, I guess Richard.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick, but yeah, I'm not feeling any of them.
But yeah, this was when I went to look at all the men, I was like, we had Richard and Jill. Honestly, I'm going to pick baby Charles. He was just very cute. No, not like in that way.
No,
he's
I know.
He's very cute.
He is very cute. He's a very cute baby. I wonder if he's an actor now.
I hope not.
I hope
he's like an engineer.
Yeah. Like
he's probably beautiful.
Oh, stunning.
What would you give this out of 10?
You know, I enjoyed myself, but it wasn't the best episode. I will give it like a 6.5.
And I was going to give it firmly a 6, all for the Charlotte and Miranda stuff.
Yeah, that really carried me.
Yeah. Well, I cannot believe it, Sam. Next week is the finale. Are we going to do a little?
That's
crazy. Wait, what was your idea? You told me you had an idea.
That's like for offline.
Oh.
It was like production stuff.
Ooh. A little sneak peek behind the scenes. Don't worry, guys. She'll forget to mention it and we'll never do whatever.
No,
her idea
I won't.
Is.
I have it written down. I wrote it down.
Well, thank you. This will be much like when we were going to do that special Family Stone episode. And I said, I'll put that ball in your court.
And I dropped it. The ball was nowhere.
It was dropped. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you'll join us again next week when we discuss the season 4 finale, I Heart New York. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Shortcomings wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow us online. I'm at CLewis1219 on Instagram. Well, that's if I'm still alive.
Stop.
But that's where you can follow me while I'm on this known earth.
And you can
well, if by the time they listen to this and I'm still alive, I'll be alive.
Yeah, no, you'll still be
alive. This does come out post-surgery. So guys, I'm alive. I'm alive.
And you can follow me at Bravo Historian on Instagram and at Taker's Loft on Twitter.
Bye.
Bye.
A Huda Media Production.